Thank you. All lines are now bridged.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Conditions and Maintenance of Certification Task Force. We'll do a quick roll call, and then we have a lot to discuss today, so we'll get started. I don't believe Raj has joined. Denise Webb?
Present.
And Ken Kawamoto?
Present.
Hopefully Les will be able to join us. Carolyn Peterson?
Good morning.
Sasha Termock?
Present.
And John Travis?
Present.
Great. Okay, Denise and Kate, I'll hand it over to you to get us started.
Okay, well, good morning, everyone. Thank you for taking the time to join us. We're getting down the finish line here on our recommendations. I had gone through the entire draft transmittal memo, and I just want to just give you an overview and let you know what we're the areas that we're going to have to focus on today. We do need to get through the rest of the recommendations. I think we left off at the end of real-world testing measurement. And I think everybody knows we're here to finalize our recommendations on the certain conditions and maintenance of certification requirements, the updates to the 2015 edition certification criteria, changes to the certification program, and deregulatory actions. So just to let you know, I went through the entire memo, and at the suggestion at the last meeting from Lauren, I added some information at the introductory paragraph of the letter stating that we took into consideration the feedback we received from the March 18th and April 10th meeting. And since the April 10th meeting, we made revisions to provide clarity on whether each recommendation is seeking changes to the final rule preamble, the regulatory text, or both, and responded to the feedback provided. So I went ahead and put that statement in there. There were a number of changes that or editorial changes that Kate had made. I just went ahead and accepted to kind of declutter some of the changes in the document as we're going through this. Also, you will see that I restated the beginning of every recommendation to say the CMC task force recommends ONC and then what we recommend ONC do. And so in every case, we had ONC should do this or should do that. And you'll note, like, for instance, on recommendation one here that's up on the screen, you'll note this is the only place where we said the committee recommends because we had already voted on this at the last meeting. And there's an example of where we took the should out, recommends ONC introduce a new edition. So you will see that consistently throughout. That's some of the changes, and so they're not. That's not really substantive. It's more to put this in a thematic format. We had already talked about recommendation six, but I want to revisit that because as I looked at it, there were some concerns I had about after I reread the preamble text about what exactly we're asking for them to clarify related to workflow. So I'd like to revisit that. Otherwise, we had made it through all the way to recommendation, I think, through 11 or up to 11 on our last call. We do have one little item we need to revisit, recommendation 8. We actually have in our discussion the word recommends, and I don't think we want to recommend in a discussion. We were trying to separate recommendation from discussion. So those are all really kind of actually minor things. And then the four big ones that we have to hit today in terms of revising are recommendation 19 that concerns the HL7 U.S. Core Fire Implementation Guide, Recommendation 21, which concerns privacy and security regulations and current uses of FHIR APIs as related to privacy and security. And Ken's going to help us out with that one with some feedback from Aaron Mary, which I emailed to all of you. And then, obviously, self-developers, the recommendation concerning CMC on self-developers, which is recommendation 25. And the last of the four big ones is EHI export. And I'm actually suggesting on EHI export that we sort of reorder this in the same manner we did with recommendation 8, where we had a recommendation and then put our discussion afterwards. I think it's a little jumbled up right now. So if we can start, first, is there, let me ask on my change to the introduction to the letter, are there any concerns with that or requested edits at the top of the page?
I think it's fine.
Yeah.
Right.
Nothing.
Oh. Okay. All right. Oh, by the way, and Sasha had done some editing the last time that was more or less to include final rule preamble and all that. I just accepted those because it really wasn't substantive in terms of content, but more to say where we said the change should go. But we can, if anybody thinks that the way we reflected that is not correct, you can speak up. All right. Let's go down to recommendation 6, please. Or I should ask, does anybody have anything they want to raise on 2 through 6, which we had covered last time? In case you weren't on the call. I don't think, Ken, you were on the call.
No concerns.
Okay. All right. So recommendation 6, at the end of our original recommendation, in the final rule preamble, the task force also recommends ONC clarify the term workflow as it is used. And what I added is where it is used. It's used in section 7B5 of the proposed rule preamble regarding real-world testing. What I thought I was trying to add some context around this because there's two places in the preamble where it mentions real-world, and rather than us trying to bring this up, let me just read this to you. The first place it's mentioned is on page 277 of the preamble. It says real-world testing should assess that the certified health IT is meeting the intended use cases of the certification criteria to which it is certified within the workflow, comma, health IT architecture, comma, and care practice setting in which the health IT is implemented. That's the first place they mention workflow. But the place that I'm referencing here is on page 283, where it says, additionally, while the developer's plans must address each of the interoperability-focused certification criteria in their certified health IT, developers can and should design scenario-based test cases that incorporate multiple functionalities as appropriate for the real-world workflow and setting. So those are the two places where they introduce workflow. In real-world testing, workflow is not used in the regulatory text. And also in the second piece that I read to you, only scenario-based is touched on and not use case. So obviously we're asking ONC to clarify, is scenario and use case the same thing? If so, just use one term. But on workflow, what I want to make sure we as a task force are being clear on what our concern is. So if they clarify the term workflow relative to what? To the number of infinite test cases that a vendor would have to create to accommodate every workflow variation that each of their customers has, because we know the customers don't all have the same workflows, and we're not dictating that they should. Or is it to generally test a common workflow? So if you all can help me out, especially John and Sasha, our discussion on this, to make sure that we capture what I'm suggesting we put in here.
Yeah, John, maybe I'll start it out. So I think you start from a premise that, and maybe it's something to make sure is clear, as it's worded, by default, it has to put a lot of discretion on the vendor, which is, I think, proper. However, you want to make sure that that discretion operates within some assumptions. Otherwise, maybe it's not a problem that there could be a wide variety in the way vendors apply the requirement. This kind of goes back to being informed by how you define venue or, care setting. And that's why that matters so much. So if I have a fairly high-level definition of that, then I'm probably not going to do a lot of differentiation of workflow based on things that could vary within it. So let's say, for example, and I'm doing this on purpose to illustrate, I say ambulatory counts as what meets the test of selecting a relevant venue or care setting. Well, obviously, within ambulatory, there can be many specialties and subspecialties. If I choose to say, well, workflow is ambulatory for, and in my mind I'm thinking about primary care, and that's all I do, then who's to challenge me on that judgment? That's why that matters so much, because there's kind of a synonymous relationship between picking a unique workflow and the level at which I choose to define a care setting. And that's where it really matters.
Yeah, I was thinking that too, that workflow and care setting can dictate, depending on how you look at it, the type of test scenarios that you would do. And probably the word I used here is concern, where the task force is concerned about the degree of variability. I don't think we're concerned about the concerned. We recognize there is a degree of variability that exists in provider workflows. So help me out, team. I tried to suggest something here, and maybe I didn't get it quite right. Or maybe we just leave it to recommend that the final rule be clear on what is intended where the preamble states.
I think a couple of things, and again, just certainly open to feedback. I think the first point I'd make is, by the use of the language, we assume that and maybe this is a minimum, but as it's worded, that venue and workflow or setting and workflow are synonymous for the purpose of establishing an expectation by ONC of how many do you do. You probably at least have to do one per. Do you have any obligation to do more than that, or is that at the vendor's latitude or the developer's latitude to do more than that? Barring anything else, it's one per. I think the other thing is that, Sasha, I don't presume to speak for you, but I think we'd want to know that HIT developers are doing fairly consistent things out there in terms of how they understand their latitude and how many workflows they do test. And that's the important thing. So variability may not be quite the term as much as, that if ONC is expecting a fairly consistent result or comparability of result from this requirement, then they need to make that clear. And they need to put firmer guidance in place as to, I don't want to get all prescriptive, but maybe it's a minimum statement, or maybe it's an expectation that is clearly stated of when they correlate workflow to selected venue or care setting, they've got a fairly clear establishment of what that means to guide the developer in their development of the testing plan.
I agree with John. I guess I think the revisions that Denise has suggested are consistent with our earlier conversation and the goals that we have. I pulled the references to workflow into a comment in the document just for my own reference. If that's helpful, you can see it in the Google Doc there. But I think this accomplishes the concern, which was just that it's a very subjective term, but it seems to be used with as though there were a common understanding of what the workflow would be. And maybe there's an intentional use of that because they know it's not a common thing. That would be helpful to be clarified, even if that is the case. I do think there will be a lot of variability within one product and across products, and rightfully so. That's how we innovate in the industry.
So, Sasha, do you think, though, what I have here presently that we should say instead of is concerned about, the task force acknowledges a degree of variability that exists?
Yeah. The thing that I think confused me about this wording, and I appreciate that you clarified a bit more, is that it sounds like the concern is the variability, not that the variability creates an infinite number of test cases. So I think what we want mm-hmm. to say is we acknowledge a variability and we're concerned that it creates an infinite number of test cases.
Do we want to speak to, we already say ONC should clarify the term workflow. Do we want to make any statement about ONC making clear how they regard the relationship between venue and workflow? Are they synonyms?
I don't think they are synonyms.
But I don't know ONC's state of mind. That's my point.
I think when they say the intended testing methods would need to address testing scenarios, use cases, and workflows, that is independent of the settings in which they're tested, because they say previously that the use cases would be per setting, and then they call use cases and workflows different. I guess okay. I share your confusion overall about, is there a test case per workflow, per setting, per use case?
Yeah.
But
is there a way that we can put wording in that corrals the infinity? Boy, that's not even a word, is it? The infinite nature of the potential permutations that, you know, I hate making it more subjective than it may already seem to be, but I'm after, do we want a reasonableness principle in there? Or
maybe what if we just said here where it says be clear on what is intended, what if we said be clear and reasonable with...
Yes, I'd be fine with that.
And that maybe accomplishes the goal of, we want clarity, but then we're also just concerned that you avoid this infinite test cases problem. Is that reasonable?
Exactly. We want latitude, and you know, I think it's there, but we don't want just an overwhelming amount of requirement that, you know, the because these things are judged by ATLs and others that may say, no, that's inadequate. So I think there needs to be enough there that gives light to what is an adequate level that also serves to harness the entities that are going to be judging the adequacy of the testing plan from getting to a ridiculous level of requirement of permutation.
Okay, so I like the changes. I think that states what I hear you both saying now. Sasha, were you typing? Is that
yes.
you typing or somebody else? Can you add, after infinite number, add of test cases, OF, of test, yeah, I missed a word there. And I would actually put a period after customer base because this gets really long and just say the TF recommends the final rule. Okay. Is everybody good with this?
Yep.
I appreciate you all re-looking at this one. Okay. Thank you. So if we can jump down to recommendation 8. I made a tweak here because when I read the recommendation, the way it was originally worded, it didn't seem to make sense as written. So hopefully everybody is okay with this change for clarity's sake on the first three lines here.
Yes.
Okay. Now, the one thing we need to clear up here is we originally had this statement, the CMC task force recommends use of data testing to validate the data user receives, that part there. Scroll down a little more. Please.
I wonder, so this sentence, remember last time we had this discussion, we changed our recommendation above to use usability testing as the phrase
yep.
instead. So then I think I confused myself reading the highlighted sentence. But since we moved the usability testing recommendation to sort of the second paragraph of the recommendation section, I'm wondering if we can mm-hmm. cut the highlighted sentence because it's sort of a restatement of what we had said above.
Just as long, let's see, and I think we already said this about foreign data.
Yeah, we have we heard feedback about foreign data piece, and we don't want to be prescriptive about design. So it's like, this is the feedback for consideration along with other user feedback as designs are done. But then I guess the sort of recommendation of do data validation on received data is up in the TF recommends ONC expect that if health IT developers are testing the use of data received through Exchange, they would have users involved in usability testing.
Yeah.
I have one.
Go ahead, John.
No, I was going to say I'm rereading the main paragraph under discussion right above the highlighted, and I actually just mm-hmm. had a reaction. Presented in the same view as native data. What I'm after is I don't want that to be read as it must appear exactly as native data because. And maybe the rest of that sentence about not to prescribe certain design approaches addresses that. I know this is there to make sure that it's presented, you know, and is able to be usable and able to be acted upon, but it may be, depending on its form, it should be presented as distinct from native data. It may be history, it may be patient contributed, it may be distinguished as external.
I have a suggestion. Why don't we combine what's in the part that's highlighted and say, when certified health IT products receive foreign data, we have heard user feedback desiring that the data is viewable, actionable and reportable alongside their native data to be useful and reduce burden on providers using this technology. Maybe we can combine the two thoughts and then just take this
yeah,
out.
You mean
this part about being presented in the same view?
Yeah,
because
I think that's definitely in the right direction.
I mean, the last chapter's more than just a view. It's
right. And the, yeah.
So if I understand what you guys are suggesting, it's this.
Certified Health IT received foreign data, we've heard user feedback desiring it to be viewable, actionable, and reportable alongside. I like that.
Alongside
nice
their, I would put their native data to be useful. Yeah, and then that doesn't get into a view or we're saying it needs
right.
to be on the same screen.
Yep.
Yeah, that I think that's much better. What does
yeah,
everybody
I like
think?
That.
I like that.
Carolyn, Ken?
Yeah, I'm good with it.
Okay. All right, good. Like I said, I went over this with a fine-tooth comb last night. I wanted to make sure we're crystal clear on what we're saying. Okay.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that.
All right, so this takes us down to 11, and you'll see in each of these recommendations, I did add CMC task force recommends, and okay. Measurement. Oh, I see something. Sasha, can you add CMC before TF while we're in here on recommendation 11? The CMC TF recommends.
Oh, sorry, on 11. Yes.
You see up there? And hopefully nobody has any opposition to the changes here. It was just to provide some clarity on 11, but I didn't.
Very
I think
minor,
we got
but
this
I think
recommendation.
Very minor, but I think you want a 2 after the word and that you added in the first sentence, task force recommends ONC, including the final. Yeah, right there. It kind of reads a little rough without the 2.
Include in the final rule and provide clarity.
A description. No,
that's fine.
Will include.
Fine.
I think it's okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, in fact, what I'll do done with this call, I'll go accept all this stuff so you all can have a clean read. All right, so we're on 12. Is everybody good to go?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, 12. So I did add that we're looking for the final rule preamble, and I did put this section to kind of help. And each of these where I can clearly identify the section, I did add it so that they can hone in on where we're talking about in the rule.
Seems fine.
Everybody good with this one? We did not get any feedback on this one in particular, but from the committee. And the main thing they wanted us to provide was to whether this is for the preamble or the rural text, regulatory text, which we did. Okay, if nobody opposes, let's go to 13. In the last sentence, I added the final rule preamble should provide reasonable assurances for health IT developers rather than assurances to the rule is not going to provide something to the providers, but for the providers. I mean, the developers, excuse me. All right. Any other changes? Is everybody good with 13?
Yes.
I just want to give everybody a chance to read through it before we move on. Okay, 14. I thought we meant expectations, not proposal in the final rule. Because once they clarify the understanding of real-world testing expectations, it's not a proposal, it's expectations we're asking them to clarify. Is everybody okay with that change?
I'm good with it.
Okay,
yep.
Hearing no opposition. All right. All right, let's keep moving. I added some language in this so that it could stand on its own without the heading above it. So if somebody was reading this, they'd know we were talking about attestation.
That makes sense.
All right, and unless I hear from any of you, I'm going to keep pushing us along here. All right, let's move to 16. Oops. I was just trying to make this read more clearly.
I'm okay with that.
A little less. Okay. Otherwise, no changes?
I'm fine with it.
Okay. 17?
I think 17 is well edited.
Okay. Yeah, it was just to more make it actionable, saying that this is why we think this is the recommendation. More readable. And is the last part there okay, where I said that instead of having the negative, will focus and unify the industry on a single release of the standard versus multiple releases of the standard? And I did delete the S on standard.
I think that makes sense.
Okay. All right, 18. The only change I made there was on the introductory, just like I did on the others, which is not highlighted. I just went ahead and accepted that. Okay, first big one of number of four that we need to sort through here based on committee feedback. Recommendation 19. The feedback principally came from Arian, and he did state that this should reference other voluntary consensus bodies, and I don't know if I captured this correctly. And I did add the regulatory text areas where this is discussed and the preamble section. And then I think our second part here, where HL7 IGs are not available, we're asking ONC to assist in facilitating their inclusion, I think.
I think that seems reasonable.
Yeah.
I think it's well written, and I agree with removing that this is because Argonaut. That's kind of an editorial opinion, which.
Well, Arian thought that was inflammatory, but comment, I asked, is it necessary to have the last line? And Ken, I know you originally drafted this recommendation, so.
I guess I don't know. I mean, I thought what I stated was factual, but I mean, if folks in Argonaut feel strongly against it, I'm okay with, you know, watering down the language. I did talk to Mickey Tripathi, I think project manager for Argonaut, and explain, you know, why I was making the recommendation, and he was fine with it. But, you know, I'm fine with updating language. That's fine with
me. I mean, I guess kind of strong where we say.
Are we telling ONC something they already know? Is it necessary to state it, I guess, would be, as I read it now?
I think the very fact that they pointed to Argonaut rather than US Core was what concerned me, right? Because they say specifically, you know, we should be using voluntary standards, but we're going to use Argonaut. And, I mean,
we don't want them doing that.
We do not.
Right. No, I think given that case, it's, the point we're definitely want is that, you know, stay within, you know, the framework of using recognized standards developers that follow good due process, that are consensus-based. And that'd be the only, I mean, we mentioned HL7 in particular, but we're more on the principle that you should be using standards development bodies that are recognized and follow a consensus process. Maybe we want to state the principle, as opposed to necessarily specific state HL7, or is that important to the content?
I think the practical matter is Argonaut content is being pushed forward in, you know, US Core, right? So it's not like it's a theoretical thing. There are US Core versions of the Argonaut specifications, and what actually happens is it goes to ballot, folks comment, I comment, and then typically what happens is, you know, the question that's asked is, would this be burdensome to EHR vendors? I mean, that is literally the question that gets asked. And if the answer is yes, it becomes, you know, not persuasive. We will consider this in a future release, and we're good with that. But, I mean, at least it goes through the process of saying, well, you know, I mean, things like the way it's implemented, it could take you 10 seconds to get the results back. We should put in a, you know, query parameter for this, and it's, well, that may be too hard. So we'll consider it in a future release. And but at least it goes through the process. So realistically, the US score ends up looking very much like Argonaut, usually with minimal, if any, changes. But at least it goes through that process of review. So that, I think we specifically do need to talk about the US core implementation guides, because those are basically the HL7 versions of the Argonaut profiles.
Right. Can I have a question? Where I put or other voluntary consensus bodies, isn't HL7 a voluntary consensus body?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does that make sense, what I put there? That doesn't, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Are there other consensus bodies that HL7 derives their work from?
Sure. I mean, like DaVinci is one of them, right? Although I'm
not
sure.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure I would consider Argonaut voluntary consensus body. Well,
no,
I mean,
no, I said or, derived from the Argonaut, maybe we need Argonaut project there, or derived from the, derived from the Argonaut.
Ever after
Argonaut.
The derived from the Argonaut. You know,
right.
Just stop there at the implementation guidelines and just delete everything, and then, you know, where guidelines are not available for the corresponding, the TF recommends ONC facilitate their inclusion in the standard.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what Arian was asking, right? He was just saying, like, don't you know, basically state that Argonaut has any, like, don't be negative about Argonaut was basically his recommendation, right? I'm okay with that.
Okay.
I mean, I think what Argonaut's doing is great. It's just, you know, we should be using the US core version.
Yeah, I think that's true. I don't think that anything that was done in Argonaut that wasn't done in U.S. Core would be appropriate.
All right. So, I mean, is there any reason why we can't just say derived from the Argonaut? Because since the rule currently states Argonaut, we're saying don't state Argonaut. State U.S. Core derived from the Argonaut or other voluntary consensus bodies implementation guides, because that would... I did hear DaVinci as another voluntary consensus body that
DaVinci implementation guides aren't U.S. Core implementation guides. I mean, we could put it, and I mean, U.S. Core shouldn't have to come from Argonaut, right? Like, it shouldn't be a requirement that U.S. Core FHIR implementation guides must come from Argonaut. We're just saying because they specifically point to the Argonaut ones versus my recommendation is use the US core versions of them.
Okay, then maybe we should scratch, as Les suggested, derived from the Argonaut or other voluntary consensus bodies implementation guides, and just scratch that whole thing and say, rather than specifying the Argonaut or other voluntary consensus bodies themselves in the final regulatory rule.
Yeah, I'm going to.
And then we're acknowledging there's more than just Argonaut out there, and we're not going to specify, or rather than specifying the Argonaut IGs, period.
Yeah.
And take the whole thing about. All right, so Sasha, if we'll change this to the CMC task force recommends ONC require compliance with HL7 US Core FHIR implementation guides rather than specifying the Argonaut implementation guides in the final rule. That's our recommendation, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and then we should say if it's not available, you should actually do it.
Right, so... So let's see, did you scratch derived from the Argonaut?
So I made,
yeah. Yeah, there we go. Rather than specifying the Argonaut implementation guides, where HL7's IGs are not available for the corresponding and required Argonaut functionality, the TF recommends ONC assistant facilitating their inclusion in the.
Yeah, that's good. I think that meets what Ariane was asking for, and I'm cool with that.
Yeah, I like it.
Okay, yeah, it's more to the point without adding all of the other information. I mean, that was helpful to our discussion, though, to understand, you know, where you're coming from, Ken, and others.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the bar is well, right? I mean, they literally just need to propose it as a specification, and the fact of the matter is almost everything Argonaut recommends and goes through, and almost anything a EHR vendor objects to gets vetoed. So, I mean, I don't think there's...
Okay.
It's a big ask.
Okay, how, Sasha, Carolyn, John, are you all good with this?
Yeah,
fine.
I'm good with it.
Okay, good. We got that one done. Thank you. Okay,
and,
recommendation.
Denise, this is Lauren. Just want to let you know that Les has joined.
Yes. Oh, I acknowledged because he was making suggested changes on 19. Yep.
Okay.
Thank you, Les. Okay, recommendation 20. I was just trying to clear up there who we were talking about. I think we're talking about the application's ability to keep the token confidential. Is that correct? And
yeah.
Rather than creating products, I thought developing was a more appropriate word.
I think that's fine.
And then I put the final rule preamble section at the end there that they, where they would need to make this clarification. Everybody good with that? Okay, you're on deck, Ken. What are we going to do with recommendation 21?
Yeah, was it right that Arian's comment there was he thought we should just be more specific? I mean, I can be more specific.
No, he actually, let me find my notes. Hold on a second. This was Aaron, Mary,
mm-hmm.
who made the comments on this.
Okay.
He said... The recommendation, rather than saying that the ONC provide formal guidance, that the ONC should work with OCR and other agencies regarding the scoping of data requests as it relates to CDS hooks and so forth. I just have some, you know, kind of scribble notes here. There was some discussion of minimum necessary, and then building off the work of the API task force of the previous health IT, was it the policy committee or the, yeah, I think the policy committee that had the API task force.
And
that's
Robert.
What he had in his, that's what he had in his email to me.
ONC API task force. And just as a note, I just had an email conversation about this with Graham Grieve, the project manager of FHIR, and he agreed these were issues that were not covered by the standards and that they were looking to see if they can be included into FHIR, but that currently, like, these need to be done in policy and such outside of the standards. I think big picture, I mean, there are gaps in the standards, or we need agreement that outside system can be considered a healthcare provider and is exempt from these minimum necessary requirements. So anyway, I would add, you reviewed.
Sasha, I would add the deliberation can leverage the work of the prior, and I don't think it's ONC. What was the name of that committee prior to us? Was it the Health IT Policy Committee's API Task Force?
That sounds pretty close. If not, I'll look it up while you guys keep talking. I think it's all archived on the web.
API Task
yeah.
Force as a starting point, because that was his point. We don't need to start from scratch here.
Sounds good.
We had someone came to me in response to the this particular recommendation. The second part of it, kind of parenthetical note, well, I'm not sure it's parenthetical, but speaking of some of the issues around what ONC should provide formal guidance on relative to HIPAA, security and privacy, they thought the key was, you know, what do you do in circumstances where you receive more demographic information than you may need for the purpose at hand, but they wondered if there is a problem of broadly scoped data access tokens. They seem to think that you know, the tokens are probably in most cases appropriately scoped to need not more than what is needed, but there are issues of returns of more information than matches the need.
But isn't that what this is sort of getting at?
Yeah, but I'm not sure they thought that the use of the scope data access tokens, and maybe they misread it. I can see it in a couple of ways. The first part of the issue, sending a full patient demographic details, was the greater problem. They weren't sure the second part was a real problem.
Yeah, the second one's more along the lines of if a third party only needed to know how much I weighed and how tall I was, because they need to check whether, you know, what my body mass index is, the EHR system and the healthcare provider has to provide it with an observation read token, which would allow it to access, like, you know, things like if I had HIV test results. Like, there's nothing technically that prevents, you know, the third-party app from pulling that, requesting it and pulling it and retrieving it. Now, I mean, the question is it sufficient for the healthcare system, for example, to have a business associate agreement with the vendor saying you will only pull the data that you need? And like, if they pull it, you know, do we not have to do a breach notification and put out ads in the newspaper and things like that, right? So it's a kind of the equivalent of if we were giving a data set to another health, you know, a vendor, and they needed only access to the BMI, we would typically write a database query and, you know, send them height and weight. The current way the buyer standards are set up is the equivalent of giving them full read access to a data warehouse and saying, but please only pull what you need.
So the discipline, what you respond with is the problem of the EHR responding to that request. I guess I'm trying to understand, you know, I agree with the point. That's, you know, and particularly for treatment-related disclosures where minimum necessary doesn't really apply, there's still the discipline that you're responding with only what is needed. But is that a burden that is placed on the responding EHR, or is it a problem of?
Yeah, I mean, I would be happy if the deliberation says the, you know, smart app or CDS hook service or whatnot can be considered a healthcare provider, and therefore, you know, giving them full access to the record is fine. I mean, you know, but right now, I don't know if that's the case. I think it would be a reasonable
solution to reach, but I guess the response, believe me, I'm absolutely for constraining the response to what is needed. Are we after heading off a real, I don't mean to disparage this at all, are we looking to head off a potential issue, or are we aware that this is an issue? So, in other words, is it an issue with the standard, the way it's constructed, that we want to see ONC provide guidance on whether or not it's actually a current problem? It could be a problem.
Yeah, I mean, it's the kind of thing where, like, it could be a problem in the sense that even if it's, in, you know, the third party gets hacked or, you know, they're unscrupulous in their business practices, I mean, they're pretty severe penalties on healthcare systems and providers. I mean, it involves jail time and lots of fines and like taking out newspaper ads and all that kind of stuff. And I think that's a real risk. I mean, it's preventing us from doing things like cloud hosted smart apps because we're uncertain whether that would be compliant.
So
my suggestion would be, no, I was just going to suggest instead of broadly use the word inappropriately. is if that makes
sense.
Okay,
can we come back to that after public comment, please?
Sure.
We need to go to public comment. All right, and then we'll continue this discussion.
Thanks, Nate. Operator, can we open the line?
If you would like to make a public comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove your comment from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys.
And thank you. And any comments?
No comments at this time.
Okay. All right, Denise, I'll hand it back to you. I know you want to wrap up here.
Right. Okay, so John and Ken, are we changing something on this recommendation?
The reason I...
The word inappropriate.
Go ahead, Ken, I'll finish. Yeah, I think, I like that. Inappropriate, broadly judges that only a broad request is inappropriate. An inappropriate request is inappropriate no matter how broad it is. So I just suggest that word. Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's certainly a lot of use cases where it is totally appropriate to give full access, like, data aggregation, visualization tool, et cetera.
Now that we've added inappropriate in two places here, I don't think it makes sense to say in all cases after the inappropriate sending of full patient demographic details. You can take the in all cases out of there because we've just clarified we're talking about.
Yep, I like that. Yep.
Okay. All
Thank
right.
You
Is
for
everybody
hearing
good
me on
with
that
this? Good with this now?
Yeah, I think this looks good.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Let's see. We've got 5 minutes, so we'll hit a couple more here, and then I want to summarize and have Kate and I go over the timeline on what's left to be done. Recommendation 22. I was just trying to create some clarity that we're talking about. How the search for a single patient data, bulk queries, but on a different timeline. Yep. So it's the R4 implementation guides are fairly well established for supporting the search of a single patient's data, but not so for multiple patients. Is that what we're trying to say here and that we suggested? Proceed with the requirement for single patient data search implementation, but possibly wait till we have some successful implementations of searches for multiple patients using the FHIR R4 standard. So I was just trying to clarify at the end what we're trying to tell them we're looking for. Does this help clarify?
The one thing I'm thinking through is whether we really want to see successful implementations of searches or of products that search for multiple patients.
Oh, yeah.
Good.
I could say of products that search.
Looks good.
Okay.
All
yep.
good with that?
Yep.
Hopefully
yeah.
this will help the rest of the committee so they won't go, what are you asking for? Okay. 23. And I just clarified, we're talking about the publication of API documentation here and which area of the preamble text that we want revised. Really didn't change anything else here. All right. 24, no changes. Other than to say put this in the final rule preamble. And I couldn't figure out which section that went in. Because there was different places registration was talked about. So we'll let ONC figure that out, unless one of you has a particular area to add there.
I don't have it.
Okay, we'll just leave that as is, and they can decide where that goes. Okay, so we're at 10:28, and I'm going to ask that we finish the remaining, I believe it's 11 recommendations, but this is one of the big ones, and EHI export. So I think we have a call tomorrow, right, Kate?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, and Les, will you be able to be on that call tomorrow?
What time is it? I'm sorry.
Because this really, you know, or we can, if you can be on part of it to address recommendation 25. Just a second, I'm looking.
Thursday.
I think it's at 8:30 Central.
9:30
yeah,
Eastern.
9:30 Eastern.
Yeah, I just confirmed I can do that, yeah.
Okay, good. So if you'll look at... Pardon?
Okay, that's good, yeah.
Okay.
Thursday is fine.
We will resend the link to the Google Doc. And if you could start... go ahead and read through the entire thing in case anything else catches your eye. But we're going to start with recommendation 25. I did put some comments in there. And, Kate, I did not see the text proposed by Les that you said you had inserted. Maybe I just was looking in the wrong
place. Yeah, I don't know. My comments aren't showing up.
Let's just email that email you sent to Raj and I just prior to the last high-tech meeting because it shows what was proposed and what he suggested. And I added some comments in there. I was really struggling with what we were trying to suggest on our original recommendation here, 2 and 3. And then I did add some comments on recommendation 26. I got a little confused. I think we need to reorder this. So if I could ask the task force members to take a close look at 25 and 26 and be ready to discuss tomorrow, and then you'll note that the rest of the recommendations, there is nothing of substantive nature in the rest of this. It's more just adding the regulatory text and preamble sections. And recommendation 32, I did a little bit of rewording on that. So, timeline. We do want to get this transmittal out to the full committee Friday afternoon. So I kindly ask all of you to take a thorough read and especially focus on 25 and 26 so we can get through that tomorrow and we can accept all our changes and let you all take one last review with a clean version after tomorrow's meeting. And then our goal would be to get it out to the full committee Friday afternoon so they have time to go through this. Did I hit that right, Kate?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I can clean it up after we talk tomorrow and then send it back out to folks, and we'll try to turn it back Friday afternoon to the full committee.
Okay. All right. I thank everybody for making it onto the call today and hope you all can be on tomorrow. We're almost done.
Thank you.
Then
thanks, Denise.
We get to see what the committee has to say. All right. Thank you very much. And Lauren and Kate, I'll call in for a debrief.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Sasha, thanks for editing today. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody. Bye-bye.